photographer Joe Reese was recently named a 2016 National Geographic Adventure of the Year. Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening. Joe Reese is being recognized for his collaboration in documenting elk migration in Yellowstone National Park. He joins us today. Joe, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you. It's great to be on again.
Yes, welcome back. You talked to Carl Gerke, but that was 2012, and I think some things have changed in your life since then. What talk to me about elk migration and your current project.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on this past couple of years. I'm back home in South Dakota now, but I've spent most of the past 2 years in the greater Yellowstone, just south of the town of Cody, photographing elk migrations. And that's with an elk researcher by the name of Arthur Middleton. And then that's also with National Geographic magazine. So I've been photographing elk migration for National Geographic for an issue that highlights the 100-year anniversary of the National Park Service, which will come out in May of 2016.
So how long does it take to get enough photographs and everything together for one issue of National Geographic?
Well, there's been eight photographers working on this issue, and we've been photographing for 2 years. So there's about 60 or 70 pictures per magazine, and it's taken us 2 years, you know, probably millions of photographs that are in the magazine, you know, taken, and only 60 or 70 get picked. Something I should note is this is the first time that National Geographic magazine has focused an entire issue on one subject. And it's essentially the future of parks, and they're highlighting Yellowstone because it's the first national park in the world. And
Yellowstone is preserved and thought of often as a geological wonder, but you're talking about the ecology of Yellowstone. Why is that so important to you?
I guess I should just step back a little bit and talk about migrations, because my interest in migrations started in bird migrations, and I grew up in Pierre. Now I live down by Chamberlain, but when I was growing up in Pierre, I'd always, go to Capitol Lake and see the Canada geese, and then I was also a duck hunter and a goose hunter with my dad growing up, and I always wondered, you know, where did these birds come from and where are they going? And then when I finished college in 2008, that's when I started photographing full-time, and my first photo project was on a pronghorn migration. And so that's kind of what my main goal has been, is to photograph migrations, and it's what I'm known for as a photographer. And you're exactly right with Yellowstone. The park was created in 1872, and it was created because of the geology, you know, the geysers and the mud pots and the waterfalls and all that. But the reality is we just didn't know about all these migrations and these different wonders with the elk and the bears and wolves and everything else. And recently, with the advent of GPS technology, the scientists have been able to collar them and figure out, you know, the exact paths that these animals take every year. And so it's been an incredible project for me to work on. Definitely so, like a dreamlike project for me.
Yeah, so you're learning as you go. You've been studying migration since childhood, really, through observation and research then. What is it about the nature of migration that's so compelling that it keeps you to what's really turning into a lifetime of work?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I guess I like spending time outside, and I enjoy following animals on their trails, you know, and most of my work is setting up camera traps. So I'm setting up a camera that's then triggered by motion. So I have to go and, you know, look at paths where the animals are moving, look for tracks, and then set up a camera and hope the animals come back. So with regards to migration, for example, with the elk that I've been photographing, they migrate from private ranches in the spring. So they spend their winter out on private land. And then in the spring, they migrate up into high country and then into Yellowstone and spend the summer in the Yellowstone. And then they migrate out in the fall during hunting season, and then they spend the winter back on private land. So so really, I only get two chances a year to try to show migration, show people what migration looks like. And, you know, that's often one of their most vulnerable moments. So I'm trying to show, you know, the animals swimming rivers, going over mountain passes, being chased by bears and elk, or bears and wolves, I mean. You know, just give people an idea of what it's like to be a migrating animal.
So how immersed are you as a photographer in their world, in that environment? What are your living conditions like? What's your day like as you wait for that?
Yeah, so for elk, this is south of Cody. It's in the southeast corner of Yellowstone, which is in a place called the Thoroughfare Valley, which is known as the most remote valley in the lower 48. It's the farthest place from any two-track road.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no motors allowed because it's in wilderness. And so all this work that I've been doing is by horseback and then packing all my stuff with mules. And so that's been a totally new learning experience for me. I didn't grow up with horses. So it's been fun. And it's been fun to get to know horses and mules. And it's also been fun not to have to wear a backpack too much like I have in the past. So a lot of campfires can't, you know, cooking food over a campfire for months on end. Typically, so a normal trip, to answer your question, a normal trip for me will be like 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
And with, I'll usually go with the researcher and then one outfitter. So there'll be three of us, 2 weeks. So we'll have three horses and we'll have about 10 mules and we'll have all our food with us and all our, you know, wall tents and all my camera gear, which is usually about 2 mules worth of stuff, and then the food's about 2 mules, and all of the stuff that we got to pack in there is a couple mules, and we end up bringing a lot of stuff in, but that's the only way for me to get in there and spend time in there and live and then be able to photograph the migration.
Sure. So part of your goal, you mentioned, is to show us what it's like to be a migrating animal. Can you tell us that? Or is it something you just pretty much have to see the picture? So what is it like for these animals?
Well, yeah, I guess it's hard to explain. Yeah. And I think that the photographs show it the best. But for this herd in particular that I've been photographing is known as the Cody herd. And it's about 4,000 elk, and they migrate up over 2 12,000-foot mountain passes, and they cross the South Fork of the Shoshone River that's swelling with snowmelt, and some of them don't make it across the river, and then they head up over the passes, and then they head down into the valley of Yellowstone, and so they spend their summer. So it's a dramatic... It's a very dramatic migration. I picked that. So there's 9 different migrations in the greater Yellowstone area, and about 25,000 total elk. But I picked this particular migration, the Cody herd, just because it's the most dramatic migration. It's probably the most dramatic from an elevation perspective migration in the world.
Right. They're kind of athletic, it sounds like, if they can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're mountain elk for sure. They're mountain climbers.
Right. And now, so are you. Did you have any experience in mountain terrain coming from Pierre?
Well, my dad and mom actually lived up in Alaska the decade of the 70s, and then they moved back and had me in the early 80s. But as a kid growing up, we'd make trips up to Alaska.
Mm.
And so that's where I first got exposed to mountains, and then I tried to spend a lot of time in the Black Hills when I was growing up, and... you know, would go skiing and rock climbing out there when I was in high school. And then I went to school in Wyoming, so that's where I really spent a lot of time in the mountains. But to be honest with you, I got kind of sick of mountains, and I like the plains the best. So that's why I still call South Dakota home, and I live down between Chamberlain and Platte.
How often do you get there? How often do you get home?
Well, I'm here about 2 months a year, and hopefully in the future I'll be here more.
So tell us a little bit about what is it like to be a photographer from South Dakota. You take a lot of international trips. Is that something people tend to overlook, or are they interested in it?
Well, what's it like to be a photographer from South Dakota? Well, it's a dream for me to be able to live here and then also travel for my work. I wish I could do some more photography here. Mm-hmm. I'm on the plains. I would love to do a project on ducks and geese migrations and the disappearance of wetlands and grasslands.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I would hope to do into the future. I guess growing up as a kid here and always wanting to travel and see the world, now that I've had that chance, I've been to about 30 different places outside of North America, and I've just realized that I like it here on the plains the best. Mm-hmm. And we all live in one of the best places on earth here in South Dakota.
I agree with that, definitely. Do people from outside South Dakota want to see pictures of our geography, our wildlife, our humans? Do they want to see pictures of us?
Oh, yeah. No, our culture here in South Dakota is rich. It's just, it's one of those things that when it's your own culture, it's hard to realize, you know, it's hard to think that it's valuable, but... So people definitely in other places hear about the Great Plains, and and I think there's interest from around the world.
What does it take? What would it take to get a project like that going? Just wrapping up what you're currently working on, finding funding.
Yeah.
What needs to happen for you to do a project here in South Dakota like that?
Yeah, it would involve finding some funding. So I can at least pay for my expenses, you know, and it would probably be partnering with some organizations, say like Ducks Unlimited or Delta Waterfowl. It would just take finding the supporters who would want that project to happen, and then it would also involve finding some venues to show the work, so either a magazine or a museum or a speaking tour or something like that.
And talk a little bit about what's happening next with the Greater Yellowstone Project in the sense of an exhibit, a film. Give us an idea of what we can see in 2016 with your work.
So the National Geographic magazine will come out in May of 16, which will have my pictures. And then there will also be an exhibition that opens in Cody at the Buffalo Bill Center of the West. And that will be a traveling science museum. That will hopefully travel for about 10 years, but that will open in May as well. And then a smaller version of the same exhibit will open in D.C. at the National Geographic headquarters. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a short film coming out that will start touring in small film festivals in May. So there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out this next year, and then I'm also working on my first book that will be titled Yellowstone Migrations. That will actually come to print at the beginning of 2017. So that will be in bookstores worldwide starting, I think, February or March of 2017.
Excellent. And we can still vote for you, right? How do we vote so you're the people's choice?
Well, if you go on the National Geographic website, it's on the Adventure page, and they've selected 10 different people from around the world that have been out doing different adventures this past year, and they selected them, so it's an honor just to be selected. But then there's also a people's choice where people can vote every day, and it's on the Nat Geo website.
We'll put a link to that and to some other, your website there, the current work that you're doing. There's another short film we can put a link to up on our website, sdpb.org. So if you want to see some of the images, because when you talk about Joe Reese, you really have to see the images. You can also follow him on Instagram, and we'll give you that information on our website. Joe, thank you so much for coming back, and please come back again as things unfold. Well, we never get tired of talking to you.
Well, thanks for having me on, Lori.
We've been talking with Joe Reese, Central South Dakota native and photographer, about the Greater Yellowstone Migrations Project.